Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat is 636 and three quarters, up 14 and three quarters. Soft September, 557 and a half, up 11 and a quarter. September corn, 365 and a quarter, up three. December, 371 and three quarters, up two and three quarters. July is 399, up two and a half. September soybeans, 11.58 and a half, up 22 and a quarter. November, 10.44 and a half. Now a quarter up six, go out to July at 10.64 and three quarters, up three and a half. September soybean meal, 434.50, up $20.70. September soybean oil, 32.74, down four. August live cattle, 149.87 and a half, up 22 and a half. August feeders, 215.80, up 60. October lean hogs, 93.52, now 55, and they're down 7 1/2.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I think that I'm going to the grocery store and see if I can find any soybeans.
I think if you do, you better get them over to Decatur or Decatur, Indiana, or Claypool, Indiana. Claypool, Indiana has now gone reportedly, and I just checked this morning with a client, good client up in that area, that they are now $4 over the November beans at this point as far as a bid. So you're talking about almost $14.50 for selling beans right now to Claypool crushers at this stage of the game. And that's been a big talking point in the news wires and amongst traders at this point, because bottom lining it out, Dave, is you've got Claypool, Indiana, Decatur, Indiana, and Decatur, Illinois, all bidding at or above the Gulf of Mexico, and that is a historic moment here when it comes to the northern part of the pipeline bidding as much as the farthest southern export channel of the pipeline. And when you have something like that, it really calls into question whether USDA's 140 million bushel carryover is actually accurate. So we don't have a report coming out, so the trade doesn't have a reason to not look at the cash market, and they're reacting to it very quickly here this week.
It's interesting they haven't taken it down. I mean, they have had in recent years gone to 115 with some degree of comfort, and we all knew it was less than that number. Why don't you think they took it down this year?
I think it's a stocks-to-use ratio. I think they would if they felt like they could get down, keep it around the 4.5%, 5% stocks-to-use ratio. But I think when you get close to 4% or just under 4% stocks-to-use, which that's what these numbers are telling us between the meal exports and the bean exports and the crushing that we saw from NOPA last week, I think you have a USDA that just does not want to go to that low level of stocks-to-use ratio. And I think also they have simply underestimated the amount of imports that we were not going to get, or overestimated the imports. And I think this goes back to Argentina's currency debt crisis and their bond crisis, as well as what's going on with Brazil and the crop maybe not being as big as what we had earlier thought. So these things, I think, translate into a dysfunctional, inefficient market. And when you talk efficient market theory, this is a textbook example of inefficient market theory when the cash market is literally $4 higher than the the January beans are at 11.50 roughly, and you've got a 14.50 cash bid out there. So you're talking about a cash market $3 over the September futures right now, and you still got gaps to fill in the September meal and September beans from a standpoint of when the August went off the board. So this breeds inefficiency when you don't have credible numbers.
It's a speculator's dream come true.
Well, it is, except except that they are also on pins and needles about the size of this next year crop and this maybe a two-week window where they feel as though they can jump in here and play the long side. But they also are going to, I think, continue with the bull spread, buy the SEP, sell the NOVE, and play it safe, so to speak. Now, I would say to you that this market could be in its final stages because of this and because of the supply squeeze. But if we get any kind of tropical disturbance that's, you know, there are some coming across now that are supposed to stay east of Florida and stay out of the Gulf of Mexico. But if we start to see those forecasts changed by NOAA or some of the private forecasters that have good, credible historical trends with the trade and are respected by the trade, this could breed an additional fueling and feed the bull as we come back into next week's trade.
Meanwhile, this is all the encouragement that South America needs to plant more soybeans.
This is an interesting point because South America, especially Brazil, is on a path to Brazil's government wanting to mandate essentially the acres and say you can't plant this many more bean acres or you have to plant this many more corn acres. But recognize a government like Brazil is probably, in my view anyway, going to have more difficulty mandating more or less acres, especially if the prices go sharply higher here. So I think the higher the bean prices go now here in the United States and the Gulf of Mexico actually is led by the interior, if that continues, I think that puts less ability of the Brazilian government to mandate acres, and it put the market power becomes more powerful to the producer and puts more desire by the producer to go ahead and increase those acres and fight the government essentially.
Let's turn our attention to corn, where we do have the pro farmer numbers confirming what everybody knew. The crop is big, but it is not mega big, 177 or better, which is what some people were touting in the trade as recently as last week.
You know, you're the second media person today to say to me essentially that wow factor was not in the corn crop comments, and that's exactly what I picked up as well, especially in the early week, and especially in Illinois, the wow factor for corn was not there by the comments that were published on the tour, at least the ones I saw, and I think that's what you're getting at as well. So it breeds the idea. I mean, we've got two out of the seven states that are bigger than USDA's numbers by about 8.25 bushels on average. We have five of the seven states that are bigger than USDA by about 7 bushels on average. And so with that in mind, I think you're looking at about a 2% national yield increase, about 171 is what I would expect pro farmer to put out today when they come out with their corn yield. And if that's the case, it essentially says that's a smaller yield than trade expectations, but bigger than USDA. So the net effect of the Pro Farmer Tour, if they do come out with 171, is we've got that dialed in, and now it's up to the weather, and especially the heavy rains in Indiana that I'm hearing reports of this morning, 11 inches in Hartford City in the last 24 hours, and, you know, areas of corn and beans that are well underwater in a lot of central and eastern Indiana. But you, between that and the freeze potential, maybe the trade starts to lighten up on the bearishness with the corn, especially since the wheat's getting some traction.
171 for the Pro Tour, probably 170 to 171 translates to December futures at 365, 364, that low that we made, that spike low that we made. Could we reasonably begin to think that a pre-harvest low in corn might be in?
I think it opens the door up to a similar as 2009-2010 scenario, yes. I mean, with what we have on the table right now, I mean, China's government just came out today finally and said we're going to probably lose 3.5 million tons in Jilin and Heilongjiang because we've got the worst drought in those two major corn-producing provinces since the mid-1960s. And so I think between that and the French importing wheat because of quality concerns, recognizing France is the number one producer in the EU and typically the number one exporter in the EU, when you have things like this brewing, if you come back in with a 171 yield today by Pro Farmer, I do think it gives reasons, especially if there's technical reasons already brewing, for shorts to cover. And I think that's where the open interest in the latest commitment of traders reports would suggest the shorts are as bad a short as they can get without feeding the bear.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike.
Have a great day, Dave.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Atchison, Kansas. September corn, 365 and a half, now a quarter up three. December, 371 and three quarters, up two and three quarters. July, 399 and a quarter, up two and three quarters. September soybeans are 1163 and a half. They're up 27 and one quarter.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.